I know that some of you are visiting. I know that some of you are here for the first time. And I know that a lot of you don't necessarily come every week. That's fine. I have no problem with that. I'm not a pastor and this is not a church. Amen. What I want to see happen tonight is I want to see that God touches your life. How many of you know that God, the God that we serve, is bigger than your church? If you agree with me, just wave and nod. Well, bless God. I know some churches don't seem to believe that, but apparently God is bigger than any church or organization or denomination. We all read the same word. Do you agree? Yet it is about, I find it shocking how differently we can interpret the same word. I was sharing this week, I spoke to a group of believers that want God to come into their church. Here's the thing. They've been in church for years, but they never experience God. I don't know about you, but I find that sad. That's not the way things are supposed to be. And I was invited to come and speak to them because they want God to come into that church and they want to begin to experience God. We are not here to play church. We are here to experience God. God is alive and God touches people's lives. And I said to you last week, if you walked with Jesus, every day with him would have been an experience. Being in his presence would have changed your life. Being in his presence meant you could be healed. Being in his presence meant your marriage could be saved. Being in his presence meant all your doubts, your fears, your insecurities could go. How would they go? He would cast them out of you. Today you cast out the devil in the church and they blame you for witchcraft. How scary is that? In some circles I'm known as a witch doctor. Luckily I don't care what people say, I care what he says. If it needs to go, it needs to go. If you walked with Jesus, you were never far from a miracle. And I want to say something to you, my friend. Maybe you haven't caught on yet. He did not die. He is risen. Listen to me. He is risen. And the same Lord, the same Savior, the same healer, the same Redeemer, the same Deliverer that we read of in the Word is not a history figure. He's alive. And the good news is he's here tonight. He's not here because this is a special building. This building is not special at all. It's four walls. That's all it is. When we leave, he's gone. Some anointing stays here. But the presence of God is not here. When we come in, he comes with us. He's not interested in buildings. He's interested in you. He's interested in flesh and blood. He's interested in hearts. Do you have a heart? Your wife might not think so, but I beg to differ. He's interested in you. Bless God for that. Now, we are busy speaking on the fire of God. Why is that important? Well, I'm going to show you a couple of reasons now why. We've shared a lot of things. I'm sure that has given you a different perspective. And I want to say this. The people that I spoke to the other night, here's the sad thing about their church. I'm not talking about your church. I don't know your church. I'm talking about their church. Their church is very open to God. It is very open to Jesus. It is very closed to the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, people don't know who Jesus is. Do you hear what I'm saying? Without the Holy Spirit, people will come to your church and never get to know the Jesus that you're trying to tell them about. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the only one that can reveal Jesus to man. And if you don't have place for the Holy Spirit, Jesus doesn't feel welcome either. You know, there's this joke about the little girl that went missing one Sunday. Her parents freaked out. The pastor freaked out. The elders, the deacons were running around all over the place looking for this little girl. They thought that she might be abducted. They had a whole big thing that dialed 911. The police were there. Fire and rescue was there. Everybody was searching for this girl. Then somebody decided to go down into the church's basement. Guess who they found there? The little girl sitting there alone in the dark. They asked her, what are you doing in the dark? Why are you in the basement? Don't you know everybody is looking for you? The little girl looked up at them and she said, but I came here because I want to know God. They said to her, but why did you come to the basement? Because the pastor said that in order to truly know God, we must have the Holy Ghost. And the best place to find a ghost would be in the basement. Let me tell you something. That little girl, she understood something a lot of us don't. Without the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, breath of God, you're not going to go far. So let me teach you another couple of things about the fire of God. Matthew chapter 11, verse 9 to 10. Then, what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way for you. Jesus talking about John the Baptist. Jesus says that John the Baptist was probably the greatest prophet that ever lived. Why? Because he came to prepare the way for Jesus. How many of you know that without Jesus, there's nothing? Now, in this case, somebody had to prepare the way for Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. That has never changed. In this case, who prepares the way for Jesus? Say with me, the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God. The breath of the Almighty. It refers to the same person, the Holy Spirit of God. Unless the Holy Spirit prepares the way, people don't understand what you are talking about. Listen to me carefully. How many of you, when you were at school, used to study like a parrot? How did that work for you? You still don't know what they were talking about, do you? Therefore, you can't expect people to come into church and they just have to believe what you say. The only way for them to understand is when the Holy Spirit works with you. Because He explains it in a way that you never can. Listen to me very carefully. If we were to look at you, you are all different models. Rion, just get up for me quickly. Now, who else? Ma'am, you get up for me quickly. And now you get up for me quickly. Do you notice slight differences between them all? Rian thinks they all look like him. Cute. Listen to me carefully. Her brain works different from his brain, works different from her brain. What works for her will not work for her, will not work for her. This is why, for him. You better come and see me for deliverance afterwards. Maybe that was a word of knowledge. No, it wasn't. It was just a slip of the tongue. I'm sorry about it. But because we are all so different, that is why without the Holy Spirit, a lot of people will not grasp what God is trying to say. Because I say it one way, but the Holy Spirit allows her to receive it in a way that, and she receives it in a way probably different to her, but it goes like, boom, into the heart. And he receives it in a way that it goes, boom, into the heart. Thank you. You may sit down. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Today, it cannot be any different. Unless there is somebody to prepare the way, the revelation of who Jesus is cannot come to people. That is why in a lot of churches, you never see people get saved. Because who's the Savior? Somebody say with me, Jesus. Now, if Jesus is the Savior, then people need to understand Him. People need to understand their need for Him. They won't believe because you say so. They will believe because the Holy Spirit touches them and it makes sense to them. Something in their heart begins to understand. Something in their heart begins to cry out. Now, all right, I've gone enough there. John chapter 5, verse 35. Jesus speaking. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. John was a lamp that burned and gave light. When was the last time you wrote exams? 15 years ago. How's your memory? Should we pray for it tonight? Probably we should. Can you study in the darkness? Can you get knowledge, gain knowledge in the darkness? Do things open up to you in the darkness? No. That's why John had to come and burn. The moment John came and burned, the light of God was there. And when something is in the light, it makes sense. When something is in darkness, it doesn't. Can you solve a puzzle in the dark? No. Can you solve that same puzzle even in just a tiny bit of light? Yes. Why? Because in the light, everything looks different. Jesus looks different in the light than he does in the darkness. You don't have to believe me, but I'm telling you that there are many churches in our country that are just as dark as the blackest night. And that is why when Jesus is preached from those pulpits, nobody ever responds. Nobody ever changes. Because they are trying to solve the puzzle in the darkness. John prepared the way for Jesus. Why? Because he was a light shining in a dark time. That prepared the way for the revelation of who Jesus was. When Jesus was baptized by John, in Jesus' own words, John was a light shining in the darkness. The moment John baptized Jesus, what happened? Who remembers? The heavens opened up. The Spirit of God came upon him and God spoke these words, "This is my beloved Son." When the Son and the fire met, the revelation came of who he is. "This is my Son." That will never change. The sun and the fire need to be presented together for people to hear, "This is my Son, whom I love." There's two different types of fire. You better choose which one you want. Because I can tell you right now that there is fire in your future. It is either the fire of God or it is the lake of fire. But you can do whatever you want. You are not going to dodge that. The good news is the fire of God works completely different and has totally different properties to the lake of fire. Those who go through the fire here don't have to endure the fire later. Those that keep dodging the fire here, somewhere along the line, you're going to have to get some fire. The fire will be waiting for you later. You better find the fire here, because it'll save you from spending a lot of time in the fire later. Now, let's move on. Let's talk about a man by the name of Moses. I spoke about him earlier, but I want to give you a bit of insight tonight. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire. Somebody say with me, flames of fire. Bless God. From within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight." Moses called it a strange sight. It is no different today. When the fire of God begins to burn in a church, you will see many strange sights. Somebody say, praise God for strange sights. And then I want to say something to you, and maybe in a way I'm saying, no, I'm not saying this tongue in cheek. I'm just going to say it. If you do not see strange sights, I'm wondering whether there's any fire where you are. Hello? Now listen to this, listen to this. So Moses thought, "I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?" When the Lord saw that he had gone over to take a look, God called him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." This is the first time Moses hears the voice of God. What had to manifest before he could hear the voice. Somebody say with me, fire.
Ah.
And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. When the fire comes down, holiness increases. You show me a person that was touched by the fire of God, and I'll show you a person that changes their life. Without anybody preaching to them, without anybody giving them a hard time, without anybody holding the Ten Commandments to them. Because that's what happens. When you come in the proximity of the fire of God, things begin to change by themselves. You know why? Because the fire of God destroys rubbish. The fire of God attacks wrong attitudes. The fire of God destroys wrong mindsets. The fire of God destroys strongholds in the mind. When I was touched by the fire of God, some of you have heard me share my testimony. I will not share it tonight. But let me just say that I spent about 3 to 4 hours under the power of God. I got up from that floor and my life was never the same again. And you know what I found so amazing back then? Nobody told me what to change. Something inside of me just knew. I can't do this anymore. I mustn't go there anymore. I need to break ties with this. I need to break ties with that. There was something in me that knew. And there was nobody following up and checking up on me. This came from within me. Things that was difficult for me to do before was suddenly easy, straightforward. In Afrikaans, ons voor die hand liggend. I suddenly knew what was right, what was wrong. Yes, I knew it before, but there's a difference between knowing it up here in the mind and feeling it in the heart. When you make a decision in your mind, you can't stick to it, but when you take it with your heart, it becomes easy. The fire of God allows it to touch your heart. It becomes easy. Now, we have already talked about this. Moses had a very interesting life. As a baby, he grew up in Pharaoh's court. He was a prince. He had everything you could think of. Think of the princes today, Prince Harry, Prince Charles. Do you think that they are lacking in any area? Maybe spiritually, but physically, I don't think so. They want something, they get it. They want more of it, they get more of it. They don't like something, it gets taken away. They live a royal life. Moses lived a royal life. He was spoiled rotten. Now, one day that changed. Because even though he grew up with the Egyptians, he always knew in his heart he wasn't one because his mother taught him well. He was an Israelite. So one day he saw this Egyptian beating an Israelite. And anger began to burn inside of him and he retaliated. He took it too far and he killed the Egyptian. He thought nobody saw him, but the next day, this happened. Exodus 2 verse 14. The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed that Egyptian?" The problem for Moses was that even though he thought nobody saw him, as is often the case, somebody witnessed it. And this was an Israelite speaking back to him, which meant that probably half the Israelite camp knew of what happened, which means definitely the Egyptians knew by now. Moses had two choices. He either stays and he faces what was sure to be an execution, or he runs and lives to fight another day. So he took the decision to make tracks. And so Moses' life of pleasure and luxury was over in an instant. Pharaoh tried to find him and kill him, and Moses' only option was to flee into the desert. where he would live in what the Bible calls the wilderness. He lost everything that he had. He had been betrayed, how's this, by the very people that he tried to help. Some of you know what that's like. Somewhere in your life, you took a step of faith to try and help somebody, only to find a couple of months or a couple of weeks later that that very same person that you've been trying to help has suddenly turned against you. You know how many times you tried to help somebody and dan sê ons in Afrikaans en nou is jy die vark in die verhaal. It happens to us. And you know what? Some people are just like Moses, living in the wilderness or the desert right now because of experiences in our past, where those that were supposed to be for us turned out to actually be against us. Those that we took a chance to help actually bit the hand that fed them. Now Moses is stuck in the desert, and he went from being a prince to being a lonely shepherd. He was in the desert physically, he was in the desert spiritually, and he was in the desert emotionally. But the good news is, all of that was about to change. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over to see this strange sight. Moses did not know it, but what he perceived to be strange would change his life forever. Now I want you to think about that, because I know that all of you, you come from different churches and you have different backgrounds. And I know that we tend to frown on that which is different. You see, if you were, let me get you to think about this. If you grow up in a NG kerk, then you live your life according to the way they do things. And one day you go to a meeting where you're with a bunch of RGS oaks. And how many of you know that their praise and worship is sometimes a little bit different? Here's this oak jumping up in front of you, hands in the air. And you think to yourself, I'm not so sure about this. You're doing everything you can not to grab your wife and say, kom ons hierdie klomp bose mense, ons moet nou net hier uitkom, you know, it's just that. What is strange for you is not necessarily strange for God. Hello? We don't like change. You can tell me what you want. It's human nature to resist change. But change is necessary, my friend. Please look at your neighbor and say, bless God for change. If there was no change, sickness would have taken you a long time ago. Or alcoholism would have taken you. Or pornography would have destroyed you. But bless God for change. Because when God comes into our life, He comes to bring change. The Bible says, in Christ we are a new creature. Behold, everything has become new. Isn't that change? You see, we say all these things. We like to talk Christianese. We know how to roll these things off our tongue. But man, God mustn't let it happen to us, because then it's a problem. How did you think you were going to become a new creature? Through change. There's a lot of you sitting here. You've been resisting change for a long time. You better stop. Without change, you can't become what God wants you to be. Amen? Now, so Moses thought, I will go over and see the strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to take a look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. Now, we see a picture where Moses has accepted his fate. It's been a couple of years that he's been living in the desert. He's probably not in a good place because his kinfolk, the Israelites, turned against him. The Egyptians are trying to kill him. He went from being a prince to being a lowly servant. He lost everything that he had. His life is not good. He's sitting under a tree and he's wishing away the time. Now, would you say, and I'm not talking about Moses now, I'm talking about you. Would you say that God has a plan for your life? Good for you. Would you say that God's plan for your life could possibly be far removed from where you are right now? You know, there's a scripture in the Bible in the New Testament in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that says something to this effect. It says, what hasn't even entered the heart of man, God has prepared for those who love him. In other words, God says there are things that you haven't even thought about that he has prepared for you. Now that's new stuff, no matter how you look at it. And if you are resistant to change, the chances of you ever finding out what that is zero, my friend. No. Now, Moses is sitting there, he thinks his life is over. When you know God, you can never get to the place that you think your life is over. Because what you haven't even thought of, what you can't even imagine in your heart, God has prepared for you. Now this day in Moses' life would be different. This day would be the first day of the rest of his life. This day he would encounter the fire of God and his life would never be the same again. We've already spoken about this. One of the properties of fire is fire always brings change. Who of you have ever been in the bushveld? The proper African bushveld is a very difficult place to be. I think unless you are some kind of a springbok or a rooibok, it was just not designed for us. You can't just walk into it. It's like dense. There's a lot of wagebiki bosse. How many of you have ever been caught in one of those? The only way for me to explain that to you in English is it's like a wait a bit bush. You thought of going that way, it says wait a bit, come back. There's all sorts of stuff until a fire moves through that area. Places that were impossible to get to after a fire, easy to get to. Why? Because fire changes things. What was difficult before becomes easy now. What was impossible before becomes attainable now. Moses had to become a new man. How many of you know God couldn't do much with Moses while he was sitting there wallowing in self-pity, stressed out of his mind because of the past? How far do you go when you keep looking back? In a circle. That's all you do. You keep going in circles, going nowhere. Now, God's fire appears to Moses. And for a while, Moses just stares at it. Come on, you would have done the same. That is freaky stuff. Look, a fire that we can still understand. There could be a reason. Okay, there wasn't glass in those days, but let's say for today, there's a Coke bottle lying there, the sun is shining its rays on there, there's a reason why this bush is burning, but then you keep looking at the bush and you keep looking at the bush and the leaves aren't burning up, the branches aren't burning up, the tree looks as healthy as it was half an hour ago and the fire is going great guns. Wouldn't that freak you out? He keeps looking. He keeps looking. Nothing happens except the bush is burning, 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 burning. Moses is looking, looking, looking. Then something happens. Moses makes a decision. I think I need to go and investigate. I think I need to go and take a closer look at what is happening here. God was waiting for Moses to do something before God went any further. Why is this important? Because a lot of people go to churches or places where the fire of God is. They look at it. They say, interesting phenomenon. They turn around. They go back. Listen to me carefully. God will not force anything on you. It is possible for you to be in the midst of the fire, not get burnt, but not burn either. The Bible says that God wants to make his ministers flames of fire. It is God's heart for you to be burning. Why? Have you taken a look outside? It's dark out there, isn't it? I'm not talking about the time of day. Right now it is dark outside. But our suburbs are filled with prostitution. They are filled with drug abuse. They are filled with rebellious kids. They are filled with violence, anger, hatred. They are filled with lawlessness. And people today just couldn't be bothered to go to church. Don't talk to me about God. He doesn't exist. You've heard that how many times? That is what I mean by darkness. How do you change darkness if you yourself are not on fire, my friend? You can't. Now, Moses had to choose for himself whether he believed in the fire and whether he wanted to go down the road that the fire would take him to. God did not get Gabriel or any other angel, Michael maybe, to kick him and say, this is for you, go. God left it up to him. God is not a dictator. Just because he's there doesn't mean he's going to do something in your life. He waits for you. How long did Moses stare at the fire? Maybe it was 10 minutes. Maybe it was half an hour. I wasn't there, but it's not inconceivable that he was staring at it for a day or a week. Who knows? But what I want to say to you is this. If Moses did not make the choice to go towards the fire, he would never have experienced the benefit of the fire. He would have gone home to his father-in-law Jethro and he would have said, man, you will not believe what I saw today. And Jethro would have said, I told you, stop smoking that stuff. Moses had two choices. Either he turned and he ran away, rejecting what God was doing, or he chose to go closer, thereby showing God, I receive. Show me more. God never forces us. We have to decide for ourselves what we will allow in our lives. Jesus confirmed this in the New Testament when he said the following, John chapter 7, verse 37. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit of God that would be poured out. Do you hear what Jesus said? If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. That should make a lot of sense to you, but a lot of people don't understand how that works. You can be where the fire is, yet choose to ignore it. You can be where the water is, yet choose to never jump in. That would be your loss. And that happens all the time. To a lot of people, it's just, interesting. Listen to me. God is not here to entertain you. What the Holy Spirit does is not entertainment. It's life changing. If you find it entertaining, check your heart. Because you're not supposed to be sitting on the sidelines watching the other people enjoy it. It's there for you as well. But until you take that step and go forward and say, oh, I want it, nothing will happen for you. It's your choice. Moses was thirsty. The moment he went towards the fire, accepting it, the fire of God began to burn in his life. Moses was always destined by God to be a great leader. He was always destined to be endued with the gifts of miracles, the gifts of signs, the gifts of wonders. Listen to me carefully. Yes, God had to teach him how it worked, but he was born with it inside. You know when he took his staff and it changed and it began to bloom? He was born with that inside of him. You know when he took his staff, put it down and it became a snake? He was born with that inside of him. You know when he touched the water with his staff and the sea parted? He was born with it inside. It was always part of him. But he had to come to a place that he was hungry for God, that he was hungry for the things of God, that he allowed the fire of God and the living water to come into him. If he didn't, he would have died, never knowing who he was destined to be. Every day all over this earth, people are dying, never realizing who God destined them to be down here on earth. You see, when Moses was confronted with the fire and he went towards it, it released something inside of him that until that moment was hidden. Hello? The Bible says we all have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everybody has a treasure. You are born with it. I don't know what it is, but it was put there by God for God. Now let me show you something here. Fire has a very interesting ability given to it by God. In nature, many trees, many plants protect their seeds with what we call seed pods, in Afrikaans peule. Das baie sade wat in 'n peul sit. Die doel van die peel is om die saad te beskerm. In other words, the pod, the seed pod protects the seed from nature. You know, there's animals out there that would try and eat it up and all sorts of stuff. These seed pods are very tough and they protect the seeds from animals that may want to eat it or destroy it. Now, the problem is that the seeds are so well protected that even if the seed was to fall down, and or you take it and you plant it, it will never grow. Why not? Because the seed cannot break free from the pod that it is in. Now, God has an amazing way to deal with that. Guess what it is called? It's called fire. Because you see, those same seeds that cannot grow and become what they were destined to be, the moment they are touched by fire, the fire breaks the outer protective shell. Yet the shell is still there to protect the seed inside. By the time the fire moves on, the seed can now release itself from its protection. So the heat from the fire causes the pod to break open and the seed begins to grow. Moses was exactly like that seed pod. Inside of him was a whole new man waiting for the right time to come out. When the fire of God came into his life, something that was always part of him, something that was always part of his destiny, began to grow and produce fruit. Encountering the fire of God in the desert released abilities, it released giftings, it released powers that Moses could not even dream about. Without the fire of God, Moses would have died a shepherd. Yet when we read the word of God, Moses is not a shepherd. He's a leader of men. He's a man of God. He's a powerful man of God. Because of the fire of God, he's a man that parted the sea. Because of the fire of God, he's a man that spoke to God face to face. So where are you in your life today? Are you stuck in the desert somewhere? Are you weighed down by disappointment, by fear, by hopelessness, despondency, dejection? Are you uncertain about your future? Do you feel that your life is going nowhere? Moses felt all of these things, but God provided him with a remarkable solution. The fire of God was not only available to Moses. Look at your neighbor and say, it's available to you. Ah. Luke chapter 3 verse 16. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody say with me, fire. Jesus wants to do for you exactly what he did for Moses. Who do you think the angel of the Lord is that appeared to Moses? He is Jesus. Moses had to have an encounter with Jesus and his fire before his life went where God wanted it to go. A lot of people don't like the Old Testament. Some churches don't even preach from the Old Testament. Man, you are losing out. Because God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, even in the New Testament. Moses needed some fire to get going. Guess what? So do you. Amen? So do you. Fire changes things forever. Fire reveals things that are hidden. Fire reveals the power, the gifting of God in our lives. Moses had to choose the fire before God allowed it to start burning in his life. You and I have to do the same that Moses did. Many people today, when they see the fire of God burning, by which I mean the supernatural power of God manifest in the church, they turn around and they show a clean pair of heels. Shame. Your life will never change. You will always hear of what God has done. You will never experience it yourself. You will always hear other people share testimonies. You yourself will end up thinking, well, what have I done? Why don't I experience these things? You ran from the fire. You cannot tell a fire what to do. A fire will always tell you what to do. That's a problem for a lot of people. That's a problem for a lot of churches. They want to tell God what he can and cannot do. When was the last time a fire came towards you and you told it, vake? You told it, stop. Did it listen? No. A fire has a mind and a will of its own. So is the Holy Spirit. You don't tell him what to do. You don't tell him how to do it. You simply get to be excited that he's there and you follow his lead. I have a word for you today. The Lord gave me a word before I started. There are some of you here, you are in ministry. You don't really experience the supernatural. Or otherwise you experienced it at some point in time and then it went away. And you are asking why? What have I done wrong? The Lord gave me a word. You cannot tell the fire what to do. You've listened to other people. They've told you, there's too much of this and there's too much of that. And you began to please people. And the moment you did that, you turned your back on the Holy Spirit. If you go and you repent, the fire will return. If you stop listening to men and you begin to listen to God again, if you let the fire go where the fire needs to go, the fire will come back and you will experience it again. Stop listening to people. Who knows what mysteries God has tied up inside of you? I don't. But God's fire is the only thing that could start the process of revealing it to you and the world. The question is, are you really thirsty? Some hearts are covered by disappointment, fear, rejection. Just like a seed pod is covered, a seed is covered by a pod. For some of you, the only way to really get rid of all the hurt, the pain, the suffering, the anxiety, the fear, the torment, is for you to spend some time in the fire. It'll do what all the counseling sessions couldn't do. It'll do what the psychiatrist and the psychologist together with all of their palikis and stuff couldn't do. It'll break away that hard crust and it'll begin to release what God put inside. The fire of God can open even the most closed heart if you allow it to. Saul was one who can testify about the power of God's fire changing lives and destinies through him. Yet Saul was one of the greatest persecutors of the church. But one day God had mercy on him. Listen to this, Acts 26 verse 13. Most people don't know this. At about noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. When we say something is blazing, what are we talking about? Fire. It is a fire that blazes. Now listen to this. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a great voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It happened to Moses. He had an encounter with fire that changed his life. Guess what's happening to Saul? He's having an encounter with fire. If he chooses to accept it, it will change his life. If he chooses to reject it and run away from it, the only thing we would ever know about Saul was he was one of the greatest persecutors of Christianity. But that's not the way we know him, is it? In fact, most people, when they talk about Saul, they don't even think about the fact that he persecuted the church. We think of him as an apostle. We think of him as a man with great wisdom. We think of him as a man who had revelations such as the church probably never knew. Where did it start? On a lonely road where he was going where he thought God wanted him to go. And then he had an encounter with fire. His thinking changed. His actions changed. His life changed. His destiny was fulfilled. When what happened? When he was touched by the fire of God. Yeah, I'm going to stop there. Why do we need the fire of God in the church? Because there are many souls sitting in front of me that need to become Pauls. There are many people sitting in front of me on a road really to nowhere. But the only way for you to know that is for the fire to burn and for you to begin to see. What happened after Saul was touched by the fire? His eyes became blind. Why? Because the fire showed him what was the problem all along. He had always been blind. And after the fire, the scales fell off. And he began to see things the way God saw them. Until you are touched by the fire, my friend, you will see things the way your grandfather saw them, the way your church sees them, the way your pastor sees them, the way your great granny sees them. You will see them the way people see them. But you should be seeing them the way God sees them. There's a big, big difference. A good sermon is good, but good sermons don't change people. Fire changes people. There's fire in this church tonight. How can there not be? We've allowed him to come in. We've allowed him to speak to us. We know that God doesn't change. In the Old Testament, Moses needed some fire to get going. In the New Testament, Paul needed some fire to get going. Look at your neighbor and say, what about you? Did you bring your asbestos underwear? Have you got your fireproof boots? You might need them before the night is through. You want it? I want it too. Now, here's the thing with the Word of God. The Word of God is living. The Word of God is living. What I shared with you tonight is not history. It is the living Word of God. Eddie, do me a favor. In my bag is my Bible. Oh, here it is. Somebody has already taken it out.
We are talking about fire.
I want to show you something. In the book of Mark, chapter 16, there is a very powerful scripture. Listen to this. Verse 15, Jesus speaking. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Look at your neighbor and say, the gospel is good news. Bless God. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Look at your neighbor and ask him, do you believe? Now look at your other neighbor and ask them, do you believe? All right, this is for all the believers sitting here tonight. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Now, but Rian, you don't understand. I'm not a dominie. I don't care. You're a believer. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Yeah, but Rian, my pastor says that that's gibberish. No, it's not. I beg to differ. It's not. Tongues are real. There's a reason why God gives it. Probably you need it. Now listen to this. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. I don't suggest that you go and try this. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Right. Now listen to this. After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven and he sat at the right hand of God. Most people know this up to there. Listen to this. Then the disciples went out. They preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. When you go out, when you have received the fire and you begin to step out in faith to go and do what God called you to do, God will work with you. So will he work with me tonight? Will he let me preach all of these things, tell you all of these truths, biblical truths, but then not do what he says in his word he will do? No, he won't. God will do what he said he will do. So, if you are here tonight and you learned something, then you need to act upon it. If you are sitting here and you heard the Lord speak to you, I'm not talking about myself. I can't tell you nothing. But if you heard God speak to you through this message, if you felt the Holy Spirit touch your heart, then I want to say to you, you need to stay for prayer because the Lord is about to work with us. And he himself will confirm his word. I don't have to do nothing. He's in charge. You must understand something. At my meetings, I am not in charge. The wind blows where he wants to. So I'm inviting you to stay for prayer.